I'd like to welcome you back to the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. This great text, this great collection of Jesus' words found in the very first book of the New Testament. If you would receive a Gideon New Testament or a Bible with the New Testament in it, and you would open, you would find these words very early on in the ministry of Jesus. And some people believe that the whole Sermon on the Mount might have been delivered in an afternoon or so as Jesus talked to the crowd. Certainly, as you read it, that could be. And others think it might be a collection from many of the things that Jesus said and brought together here and kind of grouped, as Matthew did, certain things that Jesus did and his words collected together. But however they came together, Jesus shows us such wisdom and perception into human character, and really speaks to us today that the words of Jesus are timeless. And I believe the Sermon on the Mount is timeless in that way. Jesus is wise, he's perceptive, and he's careful. And what he says has a way to work it down inside to where we live and things that we deal with. And so his counsel is true. His counsel is true for the day he lived in, and the words you're going to read this morning are just as true today for us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus used everyday events and things that he saw and he felt and went on around him as symbols to teach. And this morning we're going to read about one of those symbols that he uses. He talked about a narrow road. He talked about a narrow gate. He talked about making choices between the way that most people will go and the way that God wants us to go. And so this morning I want to invite you to focus on the importance of the narrow road, a very well-known symbol to us. Would you watch this video and then we'll read our text from Matthew chapter 7. I remind you this morning that the words here that we're going to read were issued by Jesus straight from his heart. They're not just the words of an opinionated pastor. Pastors are very opinionated, and there's things that we feel deeply and strongly about. But I want to remind you today that what we're going to read comes from Jesus, from his heart to us. Would you stand with me? If you want to follow along, I'm going to read in Matthew chapter 13. Not Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, I mean. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Thank you. You may be seated. There's probably a great number of images that come to mind when you hear the term the narrow road. Or you hear the term or the description that Jesus had of the narrow gate. I looked on the internet and there are just hundreds or thousands probably pictures of artists' drawings or paintings or pictures or various symbols that people have thought about and created in understanding what Jesus was saying to us about a narrow road. A narrow road is a term that brings up these ideas in our minds. Jesus gives us many great word pictures that plant his truth in our minds. I kind of think of it like this. It's like Word pictures that Jesus gives us are like seeds that he cast out in our mind, in our thinking, in our hearts. And those seeds are like on soil. And when the soil is right, when the right time comes, then the seeds begin to put their roots down and it begins to grow, and it grows inside of our spiritual lives. And that's how I feel about these word pictures and about all the word pictures that Jesus gives us. When we read a story like this or words like that, it's like God is throwing out these seeds to us and they're landing in our hearts. And then as the days go by and as our hearts are open to God and we see life and we deal with circumstances, suddenly God begins to grow that truth in our hearts. And there's a lot of truth about the importance of the narrow and the wide road. When the soil's ready, God can apply it to us. When we're ready, when we're willing, when we're listening. I want to say this morning that Jesus knows that life is a journey. Jesus knows, God knows that life is a journey. God knows that the journey is not one step, but the journey that we are on spiritually, I'm talking spiritually now, is a long journey. And it sometimes goes directions we might never think it's going to go. Sometimes life is predictable, and sometimes life is not. But God knows that all of us are on a journey. None of our journeys are the same. Some are a little bit similar, but the truth is, you think about your life, how you were raised, how you grew up, what you believed, and what was important to you, and the person beside you has a story that's very different than yours. And you've had experiences. Some have been good and some have been not so good. Well, God knows about all those things, about who we are in our past. And equally, he knows what's down the road in the future. He knows that we're on this long life journey. We also know that God created us in his image. And so we're on this journey, and God's created us in his image. And part of the image is we get to choose the path that we take in life. We can't choose everything in life. Other people choose it for us or circumstances. But to a large extent, we get to make all kinds of choices about what direction our life goes. We get to choose. It's like my 60-page map book that I have at home, and I like to take with me when I travel. I still like a physical map a lot of times. I'm learning to use my smartphone, but you have to be a little smart to use a smartphone, so I'm learning on that. I'm trying to work on that, but I still like a physical map for a lot of things that I do, and I go, and I get that book out, and I find the right page, the right state, or wherever I'm at, and you know, you find one point, and then you find different directions to where you want to go. Well, the truth is, life for us is like a map book that's empty at this point, the pencil point, perhaps on the bottom, and then there's a white page up there. We choose the direction that we're going to go in life. Well, God knows that. He knows that we're going to have all kinds of choices, and he's here to help us, to guide us. But still, we choose. The narrow gate is one way, one great reminder of how much God cares about the journey that we're on. God cares about where we start and where we go, our next step, and every decision of life. He knows. He cares about our journey every day, that every day we make a choice. Excuse me. Every day we make a choice about our journey and what direction we're going to go. So he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Enter through the narrow gate. These are powerful words. They're instructive words. They're wise words. There's two things that Jesus says in this passage that to me are, I'll call them heavy. And you've heard them. Most of you have heard this, but the first one is this, and only a few find it. I've been wrestling with that term, that verse all week, only a few find it. I don't want to think it's like that. Man, I want to think that God just kind of says, okay, everybody come on in, and they follow. That's really not the way it is. Again, this isn't just a preacher saying this. This is the words of Jesus. The truth is, you will be in the minority if you decide to be a disciple of Jesus. You will be in the minority. I know in our culture, in our country, many of us lament many of the changes that have gone on in our country over the last 240 years and even the last few years, and maybe this election cycle and everything else going on with our Supreme Court. And this isn't a surprise to God. Nothing is a surprise to Him. He knows what's happening in our country. And God told us 2,000 years ago, few there are that find it. God knows that. Well, we're reminded that God Himself, not only we're on a journey, but God understands our journey. You may wonder if God knows the road you're on. You may wonder if God knows the decisions that you face or the struggles that you have or those times when you're wrestling with what you are. But the answer is yes, He does. He knows the journey that you're on. And not only does He understand your journey, but He wants to help you. And every day to help you to take the right steps in your journey. Understand and hear how much God cares about that journey that you're on. I think about the idea of the hen and the chicks. If you ever seen them in the barnyard or in your backyard, some of you, you know how protective that hen is and wrestling governing those chicks to take care of. You see them go across the road. You see videos of that and how cute that is. And what a picture it is. Well, there's an Old Testament verse that talks about that, how God cares for us like a mother hen cares for her chicks. And I think of Jesus' words just in the last chapter where He talks about the birds of the air. And He says, how much more does your Father care about you than those birds that are in the air? I mean, we think there's millions of them out there. And Jesus used that picture and He said, how much more so does God care about you? I mean, God is watching your journey. He's watching the path you're on. He's seeing you in your good days and in your days that are struggling. And He cares deeply about that. The reality is God will show you the way and He will urge you in the way and He'll help you to find the way, the right way and what is right. Jesus is, and the symbol of a gate would have been very real to the people in His day. They would have understood what Jesus was saying. Jesus was telling them about the importance of entering into life with the shepherd. Many of the people in Jesus' day walked through gates every day. If you lived in a city or a town that was over a certain size, they would have probably had a wall around the city and they would have had a gate and you would have had to go through the gate. Certainly for those that lived in Jerusalem, there were 12 gates around the city of Jerusalem and people went in and out of different gates for different purposes, and some of the gates were very large and a few of the gates were extremely small, and there were reasons why they were small and others were large. It had to do with safety, it had to do with protection and other things, and the number of people that came through and making sure that only certain people came in the gate. So the size of the gate was very important. And also in Jesus' day, another gate was very important. And Jesus used this as another symbol when He said, I am the gate for the sheep. I think that's what He was thinking of primarily when He said what He did in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And I am the gate for the sheep. I don't know if you can see that picture up there that would be on your left, but you have the four sides of a sheep pen, and then you have a fairly small door on one end of it. Well, it's not a door. It's an opening. The shepherd himself is the gate. And that's the way it was in Palestine. And an opportunity to see some sheep pens when I was there. And that's exactly what they look like. Now, these are the ones out in the field. They're not in the barn, but out in the field. And they're usually made of rocks. And they're not that high. I mean, some of them, it just seemed like they were just like that. Others were a bit higher, but they had an opening on one end. And it was about the size where a normal large person could stand. And that was the gate. Jesus was telling them, I am the gate. They would have understood that symbolism. They would have understood what Jesus was saying when He said that. Clearly, Jesus had this in mind when He also talked about being the good shepherd, the gate for the sheep. Most of the sheep pens in Jesus' day had openings and did not have what we think of as a swinging gate. And so they thought of the gate as the one who stood in it and had that role of watching over the sheep that were in the gate and watching over the sheep that were coming through the gate and that place of entrance. It obviously was made narrow. If the gate went all the way across the pen, then the shepherd could not control what came in and out on every side and every end. You had to come through that gate in order to get into that pen of safety. You had to come through that way. There was no other way if you tried to climb over the wall. And he says this in John chapter 10. He talks about those that try to get in the gate another way, but they're imposters. He said if you're going to come to the gate and come to the Father, you have to come through the gate. You have to come through me. The whole symbolism of the shepherd standing there. The gate represented a place of rest for the sheep. It represented a place that they could come and for the night and relax and not have to be on high alert and watch out for everything going on. It was that place of rest. It was a place of safety. It was a place where they knew that if they came and they came in the gate and they came past the shepherd, that was the point of safety, that then they could not worry about the wolves and the animals that would try to take them and get them. So it was a place of rest. It was a place of safety. It was a place that was tended by the shepherd. I mean, the gate was the place they knew that the shepherd would be there. And the shepherd would be there to help them. The shepherd, the psalmist talks about how he would rub the head of the lambs with oil, and that was for healing and because of the flies. And so when they came through the gate, the shepherd would check them out, make sure they were okay. And if they had any problems or issues, the shepherd would know that and tend to them and take care of them. And so the shepherd's presence was very reassuring. He watched over them. And so the gate was a place to recognize the shepherd that would watch over them. It was also a place to begin the journey every day. It was a place to start out on a new day, passing through with the shepherd's help, and knowing that the shepherd was right with them to lead them and guide them. And every day they passed through that gate. It wasn't that they just went through the gate one time and then that was it. They spent the rest of their life outside. They would come back into the pen and through the gate, and then the next day they would go back out again, passing through with a shepherd there to be with them. And then and they had to pass one at a time. When you look at those pictures of what these sheep pens were like, again, the gate's not very big. They'd have to come through one at a time. They had to make that choice to come through the gate and walk that path in the same way we make that decision as Christians every day. Which path are we going to take? Which gate we're going to go through? What are we going to do when we go out? Are we going to take the path that God has for us? Jesus is driving this point home with all that he says about the gate. And then he also gives us here also the image of the road. So the gate is the point of entrance, and the road then is the place of walking every day, during the day, and everything that we do in our lives. Equally meaningful in Jesus' day was the road that you took. Obviously, there were no cars. They didn't have fast transportation. Most people, probably 95% of the people, walked wherever they went in Jesus' day, and others rode small animals. And there were some roads that were well-traveled, And you can just see when Jesus talks about this, the people, oh yeah, well that road to this so-and-so, everybody goes on that road. People don't go over on this road very much. And so when Jesus talks about two roads, the image would be very real to them and on their minds and in their hearts, that they had to take choices, make choices about the roads that they took. Sometimes it seems like the roads are infinite. When you look at one of those maps in my map book and you open it up, man, it's just a big mess of red and yellow and blue lines, and it just seems like an incredible, overwhelming number of choices to take when you go somewhere. But the truth is, you take it one road at a time. Take one decision at a time. Your life is like that. You make one decision at a time. You choose the path of your life. Nobody chooses it for you, but one choice at a time you make. I mean, you make choices about so many things. You make choices about your attitude in the morning when you get up. You make a choice, this is going to be a good day or a bad day. That don't mean it makes it a good day or a bad day, but you make a choice about how you think and how you see the world around you, what you choose to believe about God when you get up in the morning, what you choose to believe about which door you're gonna take when you decide whether you say good morning to the person around you or it's a horrible day to start with. You make a choice. You make a choice about everything you do during the day. And Jesus is telling us that there's a road that might be easier to take, but it's not good for you. Making choices. Choices, young people, about who you will date and eventually who you may marry and who you're going to associate, who you're going to spend time with. What voices are you going to listen to in your life? I certainly think of the doors and all the possibilities and how Jesus, I believe, is speaking to that part of who we are in our lives. What direction are we going? Where are we going to put what basket are we going to put our eggs in? Relationships. What about our job and our career and our life? What do we want to do with our lives? Choices to make. Choices about what kind of stuff we watch on TV and we pull up on our iPads and iPods and whatever they're all called. I'm learning slowly. Choices. Choices about friends. Choices about telling the truth. Choices about priority. Life has many choices and many doors to choose from. Jesus is saying, be careful about your choices. There are tough choices to make, tough decisions to make in life. And some of them are easy and come natural, but there's a lot of important decisions that require good, quiet thought and following God's plan for your life. Some decisions are easy, and you know they're right or wrong, but others are decisions that are deeper and more difficult. Decisions that you have to make about your character and who you are. Are you willing to stand alone? I think of the decision that we need to make at some point in our lives is, are we going to do the right thing even if people around us don't? And how true it is. If you're looking for the affirmation of everybody else in your life, hopefully you have people in your life that will help you to choose the right thing. But the truth is, making choices and decisions often means standing alone or standing in the minority. Sometimes it's not completely standing alone, but it may be that there are people in your life that you really wish would stand with you and they choose not to. The question is, and Jesus seems to be saying this, are you willing to stand alone? Are you willing to be on the narrow road when other people are not there? Are you willing to change course and move off the wide road in order to do what's right? Decisions, they're not easy to make. It's not easy to be alone. Some of you probably feel pretty alone sometimes. If you haven't yet, you will. Remember that there's a shepherd that stands by the gate and he leads the sheep and he goes after the lost sheep. He's the shepherd who cares about your life. And even though you might feel alone sometime, you're never alone. You're really not. You may feel like you're alone, but God says that he'll be with you and he'll help you. Jesus, in his great insight, told us to be careful about those voices that we listen to. He goes on in the next verse and says, watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. Just as real and true as we have to make decisions about life, the truth is there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy us, and that enemy takes on all kinds of voices to try to deceive, to try to destroy. Watch out, Jesus said. I think two words that in this text that are so important for you to always hold on to and always remember are the words watch out. Jesus is telling us not that because he wants us to be not to have fun or wants us to feel like we can't enjoy life. Jesus is telling in that because he cares deeply about us. Watch out. Watch out for that deception. Be careful about those voices, that false prophet in your life. They are out there. Sometimes they seem far away, and sometimes they seem eerily close, and we're aware of them. But Jesus says, watch out, be careful, be on your guard against that. Verse 15 begins, watch out for false prophets. I would say to you, watch out for those voices in your life that water down God's truth, that tell you that that really it's not important that you follow exactly what God says, that you kind of have your own will, and you can do what you want to. The truth is, Jesus says to us in this great Sermon on the Mount, watch out. Watch out for the voices that compromise. Watch out for the voices that make excuses. Watch out for the voices that deceive. Watch out. Watch out for negative voices. Watch out for voices that diminish God's authority in your life. You know, some of those voices can sound pretty good. Some of them can just sound like, boy, they're the right thing. They're the cool thing. They're the thing that's really in. But watch out. Be discerning of the influences in your life. Sometimes it can be so underneath the radar of diminishing God's authority in your life. Sometimes the deceiver can look so attractive. The voice can seem so convincing. But there's a wolf there. And Jesus says that wolf will destroy you. That wolf is not coming there just to lead you a little bit off track, but he describes the wolf here as ferocious. Ferocious. I don't know if you've ever been around a ferocious animal or seen a ferocious wild, Omaha. You know what I'm talking about if you're old enough. You know, I've seen ferocious animals from a distance. Haven't seen a whole lot close up. But imagine what it's like to be out there, maybe to be a sheep on the hillside, and the shepherd's not there, and their little lamb is, and the wolf comes up over the hill, and how vulnerable. Sometimes we see the wolves in our lives, and other times we don't realize that they're there because they look like sheep until they get close, and it's too late. So Jesus says, watch out. You may wonder sometimes, how do you know for sure? How do you know if it's the right thing? Well, Jesus goes on and he talks about fruit. And he says, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Again, heavy words. By their fruit you will recognize them. Be discerning. Realize that it's not what you say that counts. It's what you do. It's who you are before God. God cares so much more about our actions than he does our words. He cares so much more about what we do and who we are than what we say. Our words are one thing, but our actions speak so much louder in God's eyes than our words do. God does not like pretending. God doesn't like pretending. Our words are important, but what we do and our actions are far more important. I do also think of some of the scariest words in all the Bible. Two of them are found here. I mentioned the one before that we read, that few find it. But the second thing that comes to my mind, too, is this. Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. You know, these are some of the strongest words Jesus ever says right here in this context of what we allow to influence us in our lives and the road we're on. There's going to be a day that we're going to all stand before God. And at that day of judgment, Jesus is going to divide the goats from the sheep. And it will depend, Jesus says there, on whether or not we do the will of God. Not whether we talk about it. Not whether or not we say we're Christian or we pretend we're Christian, but whether or not we do the will of the Father in heaven. God calls us to be careful about those influences in our lives. For those pretenders, someday he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But for those who desire to honor him and follow him, God gives the strength and the help to do that. Three things in closing this morning. How do we stay on the right road? Number one is we listen to the shepherd. We listen to the shepherd. We listen to God. We have a heart that says, God, speak to me day by day and hour by hour, and we listen to God. There's really no way to do that except through quietness and intentional, purposeful listening to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But he invites you to do that. You wonder what God says to you about an area of your life? Ask him to speak to you. Have a life that is quiet and still before him and speak to him. Pray and reading God's word. God will speak to you. The second thing is watch out. Be aware that you have an enemy. Be aware that Satan wants that, when Scripture says an angel of light, Satan will try to deceive you about good things in your life and make them larger than they should be and deceive you about what's right and what's wrong. Satan's great at giving excuses. And then the third thing this morning is choosing the right path every day. Every day getting on the right path. Every day understanding how important it is that you are on the right road every day. Every day is a choice when you get up and when you go to work, when you go to school, when you turn on your TV, whatever you do, on that day you can choose the right path. And God calls us to choose the path each day, one step at a time. Would you stand as we pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the picture of the narrow path and the wide path and the words of Jesus that very clearly tell us that few will find the narrow path. Lord God, we've got to make those choices. We've got to be people who choose the path that you call us to. I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray, God, that you would help us to understand that you are the gatekeeper, you are the gate, and you are there with us to help us, to guide us, to comfort us, to give us rest, to give us protection, to give us direction, to lead us. And God, if we're willing to follow the path that you have for us, that you can help us. I pray that we would know that. I pray for each person that's here today and the path that they're on. I pray that they would sense the Good Shepherd to help them and guide them, I pray. Thank you for the words of Jesus. Thank you for your great truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. God bless.